What is up, podheads? Tony here, Patio Slave Podcast, back at you, episode 163. And it feels like a reunion of sorts, doesn't it, boys? We're back at it. I'm joined by Anthony and Nate. How you guys doing?
It's Anthony. I'm present. I just raised my hand during attendance. I took a week off. What's the term in basketball with, you know, like LeBron takes some maintenance days? What is that called?
Load management.
Load management. I was for the load management in my old age. I was sick. I had back problems. Still kind of have the latter, but I'm back. Load management.
Yeah.
Podcasting load management. That's such a thing.
Yeah. The true context of behind the music, behind the nerd, is we still get sick. We still have obligations. Shit still hits the fan. Yeah, and travel. I'm back here in the home state of Maine. Beautiful. Great to be here. Like you said, it's a reunion of sorts, and I love it.
We're still remote, though. We're still...
Yeah, we are tonight. But we won't be later this week when we record another episode with the homeboy Rob, who came on last week with us, and we want to thank him for joining us and pinch-hitting. Fun episode last week with Rob, as always. And, you know, stay tuned. That's going to happen again here in the very near future.
I love our bench strength. Like, we got a Rolodex of some names that we can, you know, pinch hit, like you said. Pinch runner, Rob.
Oh, Rob, for sure. I think Greg probably would do it if we gave him enough of a lead up. I know Seth and Sean, one of those guys, or both of those guys would join us. We've done it before. So, yeah, we've got friends.
Yeah. Got friends in low places.
Even a few that, you know, are, if we reached out, the probability would be high, which I'm not going to name names, but people that I'm stoked that we're even friends with at all, because they're like huge bands that we're, you know, fans of, and they're like, oh, we can actually text them, and they'd be like, yeah, I'll jump on a fucking podcast, why not?
I'll help you out. Is it a load management night, guys? Yes it is. I'll be there. Yeah,
if they're sports fans, they'll really understand the analogy. It's the first time we've used that analogy. We've used sports analogies in the past, but never like, oh well, Twan's out with a little just load management tonight, sorry everybody. Yep. Paid to listen to the podcast this week. He's out. There's only a couple of you that do. We appreciate you guys that do, Chip, my brother, a few others.
But we'll send extra stickers.
Yeah, we'll send the extra stickers, exactly.
This isn't what I signed up for. So you, Tone, you said reunion, and all of us went to some shows in the last few days. So let's recap them.
Let's start with ours, because it was the night before yours. So Nate and I, back together in person at the State Theater last Friday night. So this is, what, about 9 days ago, now that you're hearing this? And we saw The Almighty Clutch, which we recently did an episode on Blast Tyrant. And we've seen them together now, I think, 4 times, Nate. And this time was just as good as every other one. I had a fucking blast. It was a sold-out, if not sold-out. It was really close to sold-out venue. Amigo the Devil opened. They were cool. Just a cool place to be at on a Friday night on an 82 degree day in the Northeast, which doesn't happen in April. Really, we were drinking beers on the sidewalk of the bar across the street before, which again is not an April thing in Maine, but we got to do it and it was a blast.
Yeah, in truest form, man, for me to be in that room, I can't remember the last time I was in that room. So State Theater, Clutch, which is already kind of a party band of sorts, beer drinking band. And on a Friday was the perfect storm. And there was one thing that happened during that show that I was like, oh, you know, there is a difference in the way to approach the show. Because at first we were at that second bar back and I was like, something seems off. I know it's the start of the show, but like, I'm not that into it yet. And then I came down on that lower level and met up with you like down there too. And I was like, oh, this is the Clutch experience, because they're like a club band. They play theaters, but to get the real experience, you got to be in like the pit section. Everything changed from there going forward. So excellent show.
The nerd radar went off because I had no service and I was trying to text you back, but couldn't. And then all of a sudden you were right next to me and I was like, yep, we're back, baby.
Well, it's funny. When we went to the Wonder Year show, Tone, you did the same thing. You went down and you were gone long enough where I was like, that's too long for like a beer. So he's not coming back. So we went down and... Unless you're in that, so we're talking State Theater, unless you're in like the first row of that first level where the bar is, if you're like back a few people, it's just not as good. Like if I want to be in that bar area, I'd like to be right by the rail there. But if you're not, go down. If you can get there. Sometimes it's a shit show.
And I mean, it was a mobbed show on Friday night, but people are cool. Like Portland always loves live music and they do a good job of kind of, you know, giving you your space, even though you're on top of each other. And Nate and I found a couple spots, and people were having a good time and high-fiving and rocking out to songs from Elephant Riders 25 years ago, songs from Blast Tyrant 18, 19 years ago.
Warm drink.
And, yeah, man. Warm drink.
A little warm juicy juice.
Subtle Hustle. Yeah, they played all kinds of awesome shit, man. It was a great, great set list, great show. Happy to see Clutch again. We'll go see them pretty much anytime they come through if I can.
That's awesome. And one comment about Amigo the Devil. I've never listened to them, but they've come around enough where it's like, maybe I should check them out because I know they'll be back. And that's what bands, you got to come up. You got to visit these, you know, tertiary markets, as we say in Portland. You got to show up, you know, and they do. So maybe I'll check them out. Maybe.
Yeah. It's a good call out that this crowd here will show up. It's like it very much, if you build it, they will come. I feel like the return is always strong, especially for rock music, especially. But that show was pretty much sold out. So, and Clutch, they have a legacy here, right? They've been playing forever. So every time they come, it's almost a guarantee. There's a guarantee on the guarantee.
Nate, how did you get in? You got in for free, man. How did you pull that off?
Oh my God, dude. It's so funny because it's cliche, but yeah, it happened once again. Like I was like, I don't have a ticket. I'll buy a ticket at the door or whatever. Show up. My buddy tried to like say that he bought four, even though he was only put on the, you know, purchase list for three. And then someone overheard it and was like, do you need another? I got you. And then I walked in with that person. It's great.
Wow.
Beautiful.
Wow. It's
beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah.
You can say your buddy's name. Bob. Thank you.
Bob. Thanks. Yeah. Or thanks, Bob, friend Bob that listens. Overheard us.
Yeah. Why am I not surprised by any of that?
Yeah, I don't know.
We're across the street before Twan, as I mentioned, having a beer, getting ready to go in at probably 8:30-ish. And I'm like talking about it. I'm like, did you get a ticket? Because I remember sending you guys that it was going to sell out. And Nate was like, nah, I don't have one yet. And I was like, of course you don't. And you're going to find a way in too. I know you are. And sure enough, I walk in and Bob's wife is like, you get in for free. Of course he fucking did.
Nothing's new. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Nate, don't change.
I mean, patience is a virtue, they say. So
last
patience.
Minute, Nate, but it worked.
I couldn't join you guys because I was heading out of town, I don't know, the next day or the day after. And I wasn't going to do that to the fam and just disappear. So I saw, who did I see? I saw Rose Parade, Victory Garden, Koyo, which if you listen to our podcast, you know them. And Silent Majority. Also, if you listen to our podcast, we've had numerous guests talk about them. Sequoia, actually, all four of them are from Long Island. So I made the trek down to Brooklyn at the Brooklyn Monarch, which I think is relatively new, Nate. Like, does that name mean anything to you?
No, that venue was not there. It was Warsaw and Club Europa. That was it in Brooklyn that I remember at the time.
Yeah. It's a cool room. I looked at the capacity. It sold out. It was a 1,000 cap venue. I guess it's a downstairs area. I don't know. I didn't go down there, but in the main room's 1,000 people. And I would say, like, for you guys, for context, imagine like it kind of reminded me of like East Bayside in like a warehouse or a brick building that's just kind of an open room. It's pretty badass. This video's all on the internet of the show, but openers were great. I got there right as like Rose Parade was finishing. I did catch all of Victory Garden, Koyo, I caught all of them, and then Silent Majority, which was awesome. It was a reunion for them and kind of a tough night because one of their guitarists who I guess was, he must've been sick leading up to the concert, but he passed away fairly recently. He wasn't even going to play the show. Like I think he must've been sick. So it was a tough night for them, but Silent Majority was great. They played everything you wanted to hear. Taming the L Word, Windows Down, No I'm Not. They near the end, Cross Crowded Rooms, Arthur Trevor. They closed with Polar Bear Club. And for me, it's a band I never thought I'd see. Like, I mean, I didn't know about them. I've learned about them like after they broke up, certainly. So when I saw that was happening, I was like, I'm in. And actually the next day they played at a VFW hall in Long Island. But when they released those tickets a couple months ago, you had to be in person to get them. So obviously I wasn't going to that. A special night. It was cool just to see a show in a different city and different vibe than Portland. Like, I don't know. The venue was just like kind of spread out. Like there was an outdoor patio area where a lot of people were. There's a merch section that, I mean, they must have killed it with merch because I couldn't even get down there until the end. But special night. And actually stay tuned on our YouTube because I'll put a video up of Polar Bear Club, I don't know, pretty soon. It'll probably be up by the time this airs.
I was going to say, you said there's a bunch of videos online. I mean, we have some of them from you. So, yeah.
That's right.
Check out at Patio Slave on any of the socials and then follow us on YouTube. You'll find some stuff there in the near future if it's not already out.
Fucking cool show, though.
I'm jealous. Just watching your videos, having obviously talked with Harold and Joey of Koyo and then seeing Koyo in Portland and talking to Joey again that night. To see that crowd go crazy for everybody and, you know, listening to Silent Majority through you because of this podcast. I was jealous just looking at your videos. So, and I mean, I know I went to a show the night before and I was excited about that, but I think I tweeted earlier today. It's been 72 hours since I've been to a show and I'm ready for another one. Like, I always want another one. Like, let's just keep the calendar as full as possible.
Well, you know what's so funny is Victory Garden covered Neglect. Who Garone talked about them, Vinny talked about them, you know, band from Long Island from the 90s. Well, Victory Garden covered them. And I'm not kidding. No less than, or no more than 5 minutes later, you sent a tweet that you saw that about that. And I'm like, this is the fucking power of the internet. Like, Tone knows that Victory Garden just covered Neglect and it happened 2 seconds ago.
Yeah, it was on Twitter. Somebody had tweeted out a video of it. I'm like, check it out. And I'm like, I know, Tuan, I know you're there. I can't see you in this video, though. Where are you?
I'm not in the action, I'll tell you that. Like I said, my back was hollering the whole time. 6-hour bus ride each way. I mean, what do you want from me?
Yeah, that's dedication, man. Fuck.
Yeah, it was an adventure.
You say I've done a lot of nerdy stuff. That's like nerdy because it's like, at the time, that show was one of one. You said the VFW show was like announced later.
They were announced pretty much, I think it was like a day later. And it was a way for them to kind of probably relive the glory days in a VFW hall.
Oh, okay.
There being, oh, you can only buy one ticket too. So there was no reselling shit going on, you know?
Oh, that's rad. Nice. Yeah, because as much as like we will put up stuff on YouTube or we will personally, to be there in the room for a one of one show, I mean, that's... You know, you can't replicate that experience ever. So that's cool, man.
It's true. Videos, you know, you get the Hate 5-6s of the world. You got like that cream in the crop. You kind of get the feel for it, but it's still not like being there. All right, we could talk about that shit all night. I mean,
all night.
Yeah.
What are we talking about tonight? We have main segment.
We have
a segment,
baby. We have a segment. We've never done song lyrics. I mean, we've talked song lyrics before and deep dives on albums and just in passing on songs, but we've never actually like pulled a song and talked about the lyrics from that song and what hit us about them and that type of stuff. So song lyrics, this is the song lyric episode number one. I'm sure it'll happen again because we just keep doing these and coming up with ideas and trying to be original, but also pull from the stuff that we love. And this is no different for me anyway. I pulled three songs that I absolutely love from three artists that I absolutely love. So I'm stoked. I don't know about you guys, but what do you think?
I'm stoked. I'm a big lyric guy. And I was thinking about like, we always kind of talk about criteria, right? With all this stuff. So for me, it's wordplay. It's metaphors. It's how they make you feel. It's how you relate to them. It's how the fuck did they think of that? Like what? You know, it's all that shit.
Yeah, dude. Same. Like lyrics are just like a different level of nerdery because like you said, there's different ways of going about it. It's just maybe putting words together that create this visual that, you know, someone had to do it. And one of your favorite bands or artists put together those words and created that imagery that was like perfectly aligned for even maybe that era. Metaphors, like you said, lyrics that you'd heard differently and then, you know, did some research and it was completely different than what you had in your head. Things like that.
That shit happens. Yeah.
It happens all the time, right? AZ lyrics. Thank God. But yeah, this is very much a nerd deep dive. So I'm stoked.
It happens all the time. And I mean, just in doing this tonight, putting together, you know, the thoughts that I had around one of the songs, I knew that it was about this situation for this person, but I didn't know, like I'd put my own things on it because that's what you do with music, right? You listen to something, it hits totally. You a certain way. And then you kind of wrap it around your life, for me anyway, and that's easy to do, and I would say that I've done that with all three of these.
You know, I will say, I love, and all the prime examples, the Deftones, I love the mystique, where like 20 years go by, and still no one knows, you know what I mean? No one knows what the fuck is going on.
By design, yep.
And other bands they'll wear it on their sleeve, they'll talk about it in interviews, they'll you know, on podcasts, whatever. There's other bands that are like, figure it out, interpret it as you wish.
Jesse Leach, he told us this about a year ago, did he not? He's like, I leave it kind of broad on purpose so that people can put their own stuff on it. And, you know, I know what it's about, but you're not going to figure it out because I want everybody to relate to it in some form or fashion.
You might figure it out, but you won't get it from me, you know?
Exactly.
All right, I'm kicking us off. You ready? Nice.
Yep.
I'm back. I get first dibs. I'm the leadoff batter. You know, I got to get on base here. All right, this is from the band Fireworks. You guys know Fireworks, pop punk yep. band from Detroit. This is off their album Gospel, which came out in 2011. The song title, it makes me chuckle, but it shouldn't. It's called Life is Killing Me, is the name of the song. And these are the opening lyrics. And the older I get, the more I feel this. My heart feels young. My body feels old. My mind just feels like it's trying to please them both.
That's money. Yeah.
It's money.
It's so money.
It's how the song starts. And I always think about that. Like, so when this came out 12 years ago, I'm in my mid-20s, you know, my body didn't feel old. I couldn't relate. But like the older I get, I relate. And I'm like, I want to go out there and have a good time at a show, but my body's old, you know, and my mind is like, I'll go, but I'll go in the back. You know what I mean? I could relate to that this past weekend for sure.
Mm-hmm. And just holding on to your youth, right? Like you're older, but you're like, no, but I have to do this for me. Like this is for me, but fuck, but I'm old. So I'm setting my own curfew.
Right.
Like, why am I doing this?
It's like good cop, bad cop, or the angel and the devil. On
the
shoulder.
Angel and the devil. Yeah, exactly. I do that too. Like, okay, I want that other beer at the show. No, I can't do that.
You deserve it.
Oh, I went to a show last night. I want to go to a show tomorrow night. No, I probably can't. Like, it's just, you just live in that duality, right? As we all do. It's tough. It's tough, man. But I feel that line. You're right. Every day you feel it a little bit more.
And I didn't pick this one, but I'll throw it in. It's another Fireworks line from the same album. I'm not counting the grays in my head. I'm calling them silver linings instead.
Oh, nice.
So wow. It's all about growing very up good. And getting old. And,
very good.
Yeah.
Yep. We're getting there, guys.
Oh, we're there.
I get a lot of them. I can't count them. For those of you who might check the video out.
Oh, nice, dude. Hell yeah.
There's a skunk on Tone's head, if you're wondering.
Yep.
Accent. I mean, I don't even have the hair, so that's a whole different story.
All right, who's up? Make us feel, I made us all feel old, you know, right off the bat.
I'm going to make it even worse. Yeah. Actually, I could go a different route. I could go young, but like young love, like feeling left behind. We could do that too. I don't know. What do you guys want? Which one?
What's the lyric du jour?
Yeah. Food analogies are back.
Did you like that one? I channeled you last week.
I love it. And how you guys didn't get Lauryn Hill and Nas, I mean,
right?
Bunch of posers. I was screaming at my computer while I was listening to that.
You listen to us? Nice. Thanks, bro. Man.
Support the scan.
All right. Yeah, I'll give you the one that I think it makes us feel fragile and old. And it's not the fragile, but it's Queens of the Stone Age. I'm just going to give it to you outright. It's from 2013's Like Clockwork, which I go back and forth. Sometimes I think Songs for the Deaf is my favorite record. Sometimes I think R is my favorite record. I'm pretty sure it's Like Clockwork from front to back. And songs like I Appear Missing is one of them. And this song is probably about Josh having surgery and then going into a coma and not, he's just worried about not coming back when he did come back, obviously, and wrote this record around that. But lines like pieces were stolen from me, dare I say, given away. Watching the water give in as I go down the drain, I appear missing now. Like, with the eerie music behind it, it's perfection from Queens of the Stone Age. And we've all felt like that. Like, this could happen to me too. I could be in this position. It's not the happiest feeling, but it does happen.
Yeah.
And it was the song that I related to the most on a record full of songs that I related to a ton when it came out in 2013. So Queens of the Stone Age, I Appear Missing.
When a band can capture a moment, like sonically, in some cases visually, like if it's a video, but and also lyrically, it's the fucking holy trinity. It's the holy grail.
Yeah. No, and Josh does that for sure. I mean, his lyrics are deep. I think we've talked about it, right? And there's that meme too, like Queens of Stone, it's like all about drugs. And it's like a sad reality, but he's, you know, under the influence. But this is a different sad reality of being, like you said, in the hospital. I think he was having, what was it, heart surgery or something? Like,
he had a surgery. I'd have to look it up, but it didn't go well. And I think he had an infection and was put into a coma to kind of fight it off. And
yeah,
obviously made it out and put this record out not long after because of it. But there's a lot of thoughts about death and disappearing and your legacy going away and that type of stuff on this record.
Yeah, yeah. So Josh, you know, he cuts deep. The drug use is one thing because I think you're, in some cases, probably close to death. But when you're actually on your deathbed, I imagine those lyrics are being penned to paper in a pretty visceral way, you know. So this song is a good choice, his lyrics, especially then, because they took a little break then, too. So to come back strong after that, good one.
And that's a crazy thing to think about. It's like, in a literal sense, where was he when he wrote those? He could have been in the hospital, like, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. There's another line from that song. It's only falling in love because you hit the ground. It's it just hits. Just like, yeah.
Makes you think.
Yeah.
That's just the other thing. If it makes you think, you know, and sometimes the broad strokes make it more interesting. Fuck you, Chino. Why did you do that?
Right. Yeah. Yep. All right, Nate, what do you got?
I mean, that was a perfect layup for mine, because mine's this first one at least is a very simplistic but beautiful, beautiful lyrics. One of the reasons why I kind of fell in love with this band. So for the first time in a long time, do a little highlight to Eddie Vedder and his poetry with Pearl Jam. And one of the songs, Present Tense, is the song and has always kind of stood out to me, because it's literally poetry from the start. The lyrics right at the beginning is, do you see the way that tree bends? Does it inspire? Leaning out to catch the sun's rays, a lesson to be applied. It's like, that's like as simple as you get. Like, Twan, you just kind of like laid that up.
I knew you were going to say that one. That's why.
Oh, hey,
you were going present tense, baby.
I don't disagree, because you've predicted a few things lately. But yeah, this song, dude, it's very simplistic in that way, but it makes you think. And the rest of the lyrics in this song, it keeps going. It's like this interesting crescendo of like deep thought and being in the moment and realizing that you have to, you know, live in the present and appreciate what you have. So it's one of those kind of spiritual songs in lyrical content.
So Nate, I don't know this song. I'm looking at the lyrics now. I love the next line in the song. Are you getting something out of this all-encompassing trip? You know, it just makes you think. Exactly. You know, are you making the most of this? Are you, man, this is,
exactly.
I've never heard the song. So it's off No Code.
Yep. And that, like I said, it just keeps going and gets deeper and deeper. And that is the next line. And it goes from there to even more just, you know, really realize that this life is short and this is all you get. So,
yeah.
Sick.
Eddie could do that too. And it probably doesn't get the credit he deserves when it comes to that.
Yeah.
Putting together words that way. And I mean, everybody remembers Jeremy and Evenflo and, you know, Alive, but doesn't always deep dive into some of the songs from maybe 6 or 7 years later, like this one.
Mm-hmm. And this was the era when like Pearl Jam was very aggressive. And this is a very like low tempo, slow song, but, you know, takes a backseat likely to the faster tempo songs.
And it shouldn't.
Yeah, I'm not as big of a Pearl Jam fan as you guys, but I've never considered Eddie a lyricist. And you're right. I don't think he's known for that, which it's doing him a disservice. Like, take this. Like, this is, I think anyone that reads these lyrics are like, yeah, that's poetry in motion, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, the whole lyric sheet would be just a master, like something to frame. It's just beautiful.
You probably have that, right?
I should.
It's framed right behind you in the hotel room here. Weird. That's a good one, Nate. All right, Twan, round two.
All right, I'm going to hit you guys with, and I've actually thought about this fairly recently. They are the biggest band to come out of the state of Maine. Any guesses?
Rustic Overtones.
Rustic Overtones.
I almost did a Rustic song. I'm so glad you did one. I hope the one I think it is.
And it's, you know, I think they're out in front. Sparks the Rescue had a big run. Outbreak had a big run. But it's pound for pound, it's Rustic as far as longevity and biggest band. Anyway, Local Heroes, if you've never heard of them, go check them out. The song I'm hitting you with is Iron Boots.
Yep, that's the one I almost did, dude.
So good.
And I know you guys know the lyrics, but I'll read it. It's just, it's not the full thing. So, iron boots, aluminum wings, I just can't stop running into things, and I'm all smashed up. Honey, today I hit the ground and found These wings made of tin will just cave in, and iron boots just keep me down. Tripping me up again, iron boots and matching straitjacket suits, and I fall down again on my chin. Fuel spilling out, fuel still rushing in is how it begins. It's a miracle I can still stand up, pulling me down with your gravity. Sadder than tragedy sound, I still get around. I still get up with iron boots on the ground. It's beautiful. And it's just
so good.
It makes you think, like, the iron boots and aluminum wings, like, they're keeping him down. Is it self-imposed? Is it circumstance? You don't know, really. And it just makes you think. And but he still gets up. You know, that's how I've always interpreted this song, without truly knowing what it means. And I'm sure we could find out.
We can find out.
Yeah.
We can find out. Grammy winner Dave Gutter, the
shout out those guys,
writer of those lyrics.
And also, it's my favorite part of the actual song, like that, where that picks up and then to the end, because the end is beautiful.
Oh, dude. Yeah, when you were reciting those lyrics, I have vivid memories of that being performed live at the State Theater back in like 2000 or 99. Full belt, you know, band just in their prime. And that part of the song is just so powerful. Great song, amazing song, and definitely lyrical genius in that era.
I mean, who thinks of things that weigh you down being, or hold you down being, like iron boots, aluminum wings? It's just, it's brilliant.
Well, and it paints a visual that, like, I've always seen in listening to this song, and it's probably the best Rustic Overtone song, but there are a ton of them, so it's hard to, like, pick my favorite, but... That song was, I almost had it, Twan. I almost put it down. I was looking through my vinyl today and was like, do I do that one? I want people to know that song. I want more. If you haven't listened to Rustic Overtones, Rooms by the Hour is the record. And that whole record is great. History Crush is awesome. Feast or Famine is amazing. Just go listen to that record. It's of a time, right? It's from the late 90s, early 2000s era. And there's some ska influence and there's some alternative rock, but this song is the crown jewel of that record, and I would tell you they should have gotten more than they did, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, they were on Tommy Boy Records. It was a major at that point in time. Made a tiny splash, but it should have been a big puddle. Like, it should have been... but yeah, if you've never heard the song, pause this episode. We'll forgive you. Pause it. Give yourself 5 minutes. Rustic Overtones, Iron Boots. It's on Spotify. Man, it just... I don't know. Maybe we're biased because we grew up with it, but I think it's objectively a brilliant song.
I agree. Just that intro is captivating. The brass and everything.
Oh, man. Put you, it's a vibe, especially live. Yeah. My God. All right, who's up? Nate? No, Nate. Tone.
No, it's
Tone.
Me. It's me. Yeah. Yeah. All right. I've got two left. Two really, really different ones left here, I would say, too. One is from my favorite band. One of my favorite bands.
Counting Crows.
Yeah, it's a Counting Crows song. It's not from the first record, though. It's from the third record. Any idea what it might be? No, that's a great song, though.
That's a brilliant fucking song.
It is. Not Colorblind, although that would fit. It's Mrs. Potter's Lullaby.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Which is just got so many great lines in it about so many different things. The first stanza here, I'll read it to you. Well, I woke up in mid-afternoon, because that's when it all hurts the most. I dream I never know anyone at the party, and I'm always the host. If dreams are like movies, then memories are films about ghosts. You can never escape, you can only move south down the coast. Like, memories are films about ghosts? That is fucking brilliant.
Well, I'm still digesting it. Like, that's what I said, like, earlier, you know, anything that makes you think, and then, you know, you finally get it, you know?
That line alone, and they ended up putting a like greatest hits out that was called Films About Ghosts, which is perfect too.
Oh, that's but right.
It's that first, I don't know, 7-8 lines is so fucking good. Like, being the host of the party and you don't know anybody. That's also like an insecurity feeling that you get. Just kind of, it's a relatable thing. And thinking about, you know, being an older man than I was when I first heard this song. The Films About Ghosts line just hits, because I remember all these things and they're movies in my mind. And I mean, Nate always uses the movie analogy, but you think about being 22 and the people that were around you. We were together as friends, but other people were around, and that feels like a movie, you know, or a film about ghosts. So fucking good,
man.
Yeah.
Are they the most underrated 90s band?
Yeah,
up there. They're up there for sure.
They're in there. Yeah, top three for sure.
Well, I think, yeah. Maybe that we'll save that for another episode, I think.
That could be an episode, segment. Actually. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking about it, because they get, as they say, they get some fucking tracks.
Another, like, beginning of a verse that just hit because of me being a fan and knowing other songs, but, well, there's a piece of Maria in every song that I sing. Beginning of Round Here. Maria came from Nashville with a suitcase in her hand. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's a great callback.
The lyrical callbacks.
Mm-hmm. So fucking good. Yep. So another brilliant piece of that song. And it's like 8 minutes, but it's worth listening to the entire time.
Did they play this live?
They have at some point. I there's a bunch of videos on YouTube. I watched some of them today. I don't know that I've ever seen it. I've seen them probably 4 times.
It's probably one of those songs that, like, if you get it, it's kind of rare. Like, when you see them and they play it, it's, you know, it's the 8 minute special.
I hope they're a band that switches it up every night, because they have that luxury to do so. Not that bands that have a big catalog don't, but most don't have, you know, I don't know, the ability to pull it off without rehearsals. You have to really stick to a set.
Good pick. I'm reading the lyrics now, and you kind of get lost in it.
Yeah.
There are so many, and it's easy to do that.
Back to Nate.
All right, so switching things up a little bit in terms of style, music style, although I guess we've kind of jumped around a little bit. We're going to do some hip-hop.
Jump around. You just said jump around. It was a 48 slip.
That's where you say you read my mind, because I actually give the subliminal cues, but no, not on this one. And I think I've talked about this song on here, so if I'm repeating myself, it wouldn't be the first time. But this one is a house hip-hop artist. You can probably guess now which one.
All I Need Is One Mic.
It is Nas, but it's not that song, which is actually...
Is it Rewind?
It's not Rewind.
Because I almost did Rewind myself.
Imagine smoking weed in the streets without cops harassing. Imagine going to court with no trial.
That's a great song, too.
I mean, he's a lyricist, right? So, I mean, pretty much any song would be prime for this episode. But I chose the one...
If I Ruled the World.
Which came up recently, right?
No welfare supporters, more conscious of the way we raise our daughters.
This one, I've talked about the song on here. That's why I'm kind of, it's a little fringe to bring up. But it's... What Goes Around, which is a little bit of a controversial track, especially lyrically. It's adjacent to De La Roca, Zach De La Roca's kind of educational lyrics. Definitely woke up my whole understanding of how the world works. And the lyrics that I'm alluding to, again, disclaimer, I didn't write these lyrics, but we are going to recite them. It goes like this. The Chinaman built the railroad, the Indian saved the pilgrim, and in return the pilgrim killed him. They call it Thanksgiving, I call your holiday Hell Day, because I'm from poverty, neglected by the wealthy. That line has been cemented in my head since the first time I heard it, and like changed my whole perception of American history, because we were taught the exact opposite of that lyric. And that's what I've said, like Zach De La Roca from Rage Against the Machine. It just completely flips everything on its head. And it's stuck with me ever since. And if every time I celebrate Thanksgiving, I celebrate it for the fact that I want to be with family. But the core of that holiday is a complete fabrication and or half-truth for what we're really, you know, celebrating. And it's just a commercialized version of what really happened. And I think Nasir Jones put that out there in that song and is stuck with me ever since.
Well, I love how he puts an exclamation shortly after that. He goes, "This is my level. Fuck it if you get mad."
Yeah.
Right. not only Nas, but Nas is one of the people that can say that and get away with it and has every right to say that and get away with it. Like, he's fucking, yeah, that's perfect. And you're right, Nate, that song and that line is very, it sticks with you and it does make you think, oh, the crap that I learned when I was 10 is not legitimate. It was, you know, cleaned up and whitewashed and all that stuff. So, not to get super political, but I hear where you're coming from with that for sure.
Yeah, I'm trying to keep it like very baseline, but like, you know, dressing up as pilgrims and Indians in elementary school and then hearing that song like 6 years later, you're like, wait, I don't get it. What is he talking about? It's a hard stop.
This was off Stillmatic. Underrated Nas album, I think.
Yeah, that came out when we were in high school, right?
Yeah.
Early 2000s. Yeah. Because a lot of people, you know, looked at it as, oh, it's, you know, supposed to be Illmatic too, and maybe didn't live up to that. But I think if you look at his lyrics from Stillmatic era, and what album was One Mic off?
Godson.
Godson. Okay. So like, I think that's like peak Nas lyricism because he's older, you know, Illmatic. It's about, you know, like the streets and all that. And was it Nostradamus is when he went pop, you know what I mean? So it's a little different. What Hate Me Now was off that. Although it was written, it's like a good blend of both. Like he's still young and clever, but he's wisened up a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
He's such a good lyricist. I'm glad you pulled him. I thought about, same with you, Tone, with Rustic. I thought about pulling a Nas track.
I had Rewind as one just because it showed how amazing he was as a lyricist to do that song completely backwards.
Because oh, yeah.
I don't have a ton to relate to in that song, but the song is amazing.
All right, back to Leadoff Man. All right, so I have the mid-2000s hardcore special. I have my favorite band maybe ever, Kick-Ass Lyric, or the early 2000s pop punk. I think I'm going to go my favorite band ever.
But yeah, give us the Crime and Stereo.
Oh, you are good. This is off their 2004 record, and this is when I got into them, was this era. It's off the album Explosives and the Will to Use Them. The song is called Play It Loud, Fuckers. And here's the clip. This is near the end. So here's my advice. Play the fastest record you can find, louder than your stereo will allow. Hotwire your speakers. Do whatever you have to. Smash the mirrors in your house. Go home and lock your bedroom door. Don't open it for anyone at all. Live every word. Scream every song. These four chords could save your life. I mean.
Oh, man.
Christian the singer is probably 40 now. So he wrote that when he was like 21. It's like, you're still young. You know, that's something I would have thought of at that age.
Oh, and, fuck yeah, dude.
And it's one of those things like you either get that lyric or you don't. The three of us get it all day long. That was us, you know, but there's, you know, normies wouldn't get it. But that just speaks to me.
It absolutely does. It's one that it makes you want to get up off the couch and fucking go, right?
I mean, oh, yeah.
it's turn the fucking speakers up to 11. It's roll the windows down. It's drive a little faster than you should. It's run through a brick wall. It's all of the above. So, and, you know, at a show, like hearing that at a show, you'd fucking go nuts. So, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, dude, fucking any lyrics that get you fucking amped up like that are qualify for this type of recognition just because it stands with you, it stays with you. And like you said, you could run through a brick wall just based on that lyrical delivery, like, fuck, man.
And the song rules. It's like, it's fast, it's Crime and Stereo in their bag early on.
Yeah.
Just a melodic punk hardcore song that just fucking rips the whole way. And when I remember hearing that for the first time, I'm like, yeah, I'm in, baby. Sign me up.
All right, I got a bone to pick with you, Twan.
What is it? These four chords could save your life because I don't play guitar? Is that what
it
is?
No, that's not it. What is it is that I've known you for 30 years, and it took us doing a podcast for the last three to get me into all these melodic hardcore bands.
Oh, I know, dude.
Punk bands. Why didn't you get me into them back then?
Because I typically go to shows alone.
Nah, it's okay. It's okay. I forgive you.
It still happens. You still pull like, oh, dude. This band's great. They just put out an EP, but you know, whatever. It's like, wait, what? You who?
Wait, you went to Brooklyn? What the fuck are you doing, dude?
Yeah. No, I'm happy that the discourse has opened up and you know, we record it every week. But still, it's been awesome to get that side of you, having known you for a long time before this. So
yeah,
happy to share the wealth. Sharing is caring. Well, it's like Nate when he was bragging back in the Clutch episode about introducing you to Clutch and how it's you know, it's a moment of pride.
You could be
and,
that guy. Yeah, you could be that guy.
Yeah. Where I'm just like, enjoy. Nate's like, you goddamn right I fed you
it
Clutch.
It was me. It was me.
Where's my finder's fee? Grab
an asylum used to be, or it used to be asylum. Go listen to that Clutch episode. It's good. All right. Yeah, that's a good one, Twan. I'm happy that band has crossed my path because of our friendship and you know, all the bands from doing this for 3 years.
Well, there's another one which is long. If we have time, we probably won't, but there's another one that's kind of in that same realm that the lyrics I think are even better than what I just recited. But we'll save that. Who's up? Tone?
Yep.
It is me, and I will give you a song from a record that came out in 2000, a frontman who were recording this on his birthday, which is just nerdvoyance, and that happens sometimes.
Mm.
It's not from his main band. It's from his band that he kind of formed as a side project while Tool was in between records.
Ah, perfect circle.
Perfect circle.
Yeah, what song might it be?
Three Libras.
Yes. Three Libras. Three Libras might be a top five song for me all time. There are just so many feelings that get stirred up listening to Maynard sing, to the point where I almost don't want to like talk about it because I want to keep them in my head, but at the same time, like, we're doing this, so it's going to happen.
I know what you mean. You want to save it for set deep dive.
Yeah, and like he even like said this song was about 9 different people that were around this, born around this same time, and I called it Three Libras so they could fight about who it was about. It's about people who just take from you, and this was him kind of fighting back with that. And that statement alone is him fighting back, saying, yeah, you guys figure out who it's about, even though it's about all of you.
I had no idea that was the context of the name.
Yeah. Me either. Wow.
The more you know.
Pop-up podcast instead of pop-up video.
Yeah, he did a commentary on the music video. I'll send it to you guys later. It's pretty cool. Just, you know, while the video's happening, he's kind of explaining a couple things. He does not want to be there, you can tell in his voice, but he does give that line, and that line has been glommed onto by fans for a while, and we all have those people that we want them to see us forever, and they don't. And then you write a, you know, if you're Maynard, you write a beautiful song about it. But if you're me, you're just like, yeah, I love this beautiful song. Thanks, Maynard. So,
and lyrically, it's very, the words are very simple. Like even, he even says, oh, well, oh, well,
yeah.
And you're like,
oh, well, yeah.
And you feel it. And it's like, he could have chosen any words there and he chose that. And it hit,
it hits,
you know,
and you know, Naked But Oblivious, that's another thing. And just through the obvious, how many times have you made your intentions known to someone who doesn't give a shit and acts as such? You know, when you're 16, this fits so well. And it's just stuck with me for 22 years.
I'm going to say it. Murder Noms is the best Maynard album ever. I'm going there.
His voice is so fucking good on that record.
Yeah, man. I don't even think that's really not even a hot take, because he's prime in terms of his vocal reach and ability and just the creativity in that moment, like stepping aside from one of the biggest bands in the world and to create this, you know, quote unquote side project. I remember the first time I heard this song thinking, man, I wish he would just write a record that's all Three Libras in that exact type of music. And I guess that is what a perfect circle is supposed to be. But Three Libras specifically, I'm like, it's such a beautiful song. Like, that could be like a double album of just songs like that. And I would be the happiest person on earth.
And there's another song on that record kind of like that, Orestes, which is not long. But they're just... There are two lines that hit me probably the most.
Difficult not to feel a little bit disappointed and passed over.
That,
I mean, simple, but there's no extra words. It's everything it needs to be.
Yeah.
Less and we've all been there.
Yeah.
And then here I am expecting just a little bit too much from the wounded. Like, they have problems too, I get it, but I wanted more. And we all felt that too, so... Again, this hit me when I was 16. I remember driving to Bull Moose in Portland in my newly acquired 1994 Nissan Sentra 5-speed and this record with our buddy Andrew in Florida and cranking it on the way back across the bridge because we could.
Good pick. That's a great pick. That's it, actually, I mean, we talk about perfect songs. That is, by definition, a perfect song. The vibe, the aesthetic, the vocals, the lyrics, the presentation. I don't remember the video, but I'm sure that's brilliant too.
Video is great. Yeah. The fact that it was a single is like almost like, fuck, I wish it wasn't a single because it's such a pure song. It's almost like you don't want everyone to know about it.
Yeah, you're right.
Such a gem, man. Great pick. I want to relive 2000. Was it 2000 or 2001? That was 2000.
2000.
Right? Yeah. Man.
Nate, are you up again? Or?
Fuck, dude. That's like a mic drop moment, but I'm going to drop another hip hop one on us. And just like talking about this again, another exercise, like sometimes it's lyrics and sometimes it's the delivery of said lyrics. So I think that Rick Circle Maynard James Keenan delivery really underscores that. So I picked this song as almost like a B-side choice. Like, I like this for this reason. And it's really the delivery of it and the kind of time frame in which this was delivered. And the song is Renegade by Jay-Z and Eminem. and specifically Marshall Mathers, his lyrical delivery on this track. I mean, it's like 10 out of 10. Like, he's in his prime. He's in his bag for sure. But he knew he was. And the way he does it in a song like this is like, he knows he's good, and he's spitting it in a way that's like, dude, you should be proud. Like, you really are, like, just one. You're the best of all time at that moment. And the line goes, "See, I'm a poet to some, a regular modern day Shakespeare, Jesus Christ and the King of these Latter-day Saints here, to shadow this picture in which of that as they paint me as a monger of hate and Satan, scatterbrain atheist." That's just part of like a whole freestyle, but I just remember being like, fuck, dude, like, yes, thank God, like, you're that good, because you deserve that credit. And I'm happy you're acknowledging it as a hip hop, as an MC. That just goes way above anything Jay-Z has written in this track in particular. And I think, speaking of Nas earlier, right? Nas, like, said, like, you got murdered on your own shit. And it's legit. So,
and he did. And this is classic Eminem, where he's rapping, you know, not just the last syllable. He's like the last four syllables. There's actually a ton of YouTube videos. There's like deep dive lyrical breakdowns of Eminem, how this guy, I don't know if you've seen it, this guy color codes like Lose Yourself. He's got like the lyrics, and he color codes which words rhyme, and it's words throughout every sentence. It's just, you know, lyrical wordplay on another level. And this is no exception. I'm sure you get the same breakdown where, you know, modern day Shakespeare, Latter day Saints here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go on and on.
It's like a masterclass in hip hop. It's crazy.
And Jay's verse isn't that bad, but happens to go up against an all fucking time Eminem verse, which, I mean, an all time Eminem verse, there aren't too many people that can touch that. So when we're done, I'm going to show you guys something we're saving for down the line, because I had an idea for this song in particular. So we'll come back to that. Maybe keep an eye on our socials later in the week. But it's amazing that you picked that, because this song had been in my head this week. Just nerdvoyance on another level.
Yeah. Wow.
Man. And was this a song where like they didn't record it together? I feel like I remember that. I could be wrong though.
It sounds like they didn't record it together. It sounds like it was pieced together. Like they sent each other tapes or whatnot. But that'd be worth investigating.
Behind the nerd.
Yeah, behind the nerd.
I mean, this is regarded as one of the top X verses of all time. Like it's always in the, I don't know, top whatever conversation.
Damn, that was fun.
I know. I feel like we just got started. You know what I mean? But
I feel like we could have. I actually was worried about this segment just from my point of view, and it's happened to me before where I've gotten so amped up about something that I like lose my train of thought, That happened tonight. But we're good, and I didn't have to clean too much up. But man, it makes me want to do it again. Like I want to do it again tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely repeatable. We'll definitely do it. I mean, I have two. I won't even give them away. I'll save them. I have two that are perfect for this segment that we just didn't get to, and we'll park that. What's in the pipeline, boys? We have a couple lines out there for interviews. We won't give any hint. Maybe a hint. Maybe potential old friend, potential new friend for guests. And then next week, I don't know, Rob's coming back, right? Is that we can say?
Yeah, Rob's back. Yep. Yeah. Unless something crazy happens between now and a couple days from now when we record, which, knock on wood, you never know. But the fact that we're all in person in Maine, we're going to get together and make that happen.
Undisclosed location again? Cabin in the woods?
Yeah, not my living room.
What else is going on, guys? We're cooking up some fun segments. We got, I don't know, we're going to a ton of shows. I mean, just doing
what Menzinger's for me is my next one. The first Sunday in May, they're playing Aura, which used to be Asylum in Portland.
Will you see who's opening? Is
Wilhelm Scream.
Greg loves them. Greg Bergdorf, big Wilhelm Scream guy.
Yeah, so I'll have to get there early. The nice thing is I think it got moved up an hour too, which is awesome for a Sunday night show, like to be at 7:30 versus 8:30. I'm down for that all day.
No kidding.
Did they announce that? Like the show's going later?
Yep, I'm going to email.
Interesting. That's cool.
So pretty stoked to see those guys. Missed them last time through because I had a very rough day with an eye emergency that we won't get too in depth with right here. But I missed them. I had tickets and everything and couldn't go because I couldn't see.
I think my next show is it Blink? It might be Blink and Turnstile.
Nice.
I'm jealous now that we know that Blink is back.
There's definitely one before that, but I can't think of it.
Now that we've seen Blink do their thing, I'm jealous that you're going to that show.
Oh, because Corey Taylor was going to be the next one that got canceled.
Oh, yeah.
Dude.
It might be City in Color, if I can go to that. It might be Andrew McMahon or Trivium. I don't know.
All of those sound like fun. Let's go to
a few options.
I know. Yeah. I like just like the array of different options.
What do you got, Nate? You got another show?
Yeah, dude. I've been on a fucking tear lately.
I know. Like you didn't have time for us before, and now you definitely don't have time for us. You're going to all these shows, man.
Saw Sunny Day Real Estate, M83, Pinback, On the Come Up, Cold maybe, Rival Schools, No Effects.
Fuck you, man.
Finch. The Eels randomly.
I know, all that stuff. The Eels. Wow. Fresh feeling. Nice.
Yeah.
Well, shit. Let's go to shows. We'll see everybody out there in the pit or at the bar, one or the other, right?
In the cheap seats.
Yeah.
In the cheap seats, baby. Yeah.
Yeah. And remember, these are in our calendar. We're not actually going to these shows. They're just
we might be. You never know. We never know.
So we'll be back. It's actually for me good to be back in I think I'll show up next week.
Oh, and I want to shout out Sean of New Metal Reddit fame and photography fame for posting those photos of the Cave-In show that Twan and I went to with him and had a blast at. And he took some badass photos. So go check him out at @photo_Robbins on Instagram.
I think it is @photo_Robbins. Or look back in our Instagram feed.
Yep.
We did a collaboration post with him. Super talented. Awesome dude. And maybe we'll work together in the future again.
Hell yeah. Hey, peace, potheads.
We're out. See ya.
Cheers, nerds.
Thank you for listening to Patio Slave. We are at Patio Slave on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, all of the places that you can find us on social media. Facebook, Patio Slave Podcast. YouTube, Patio Slave Podcast there. Email us at patioslavepodcast@gmail.com. And hey, if you want to become a supporter, click on the link at the bottom of the episode and give us $1, give us $5. It keeps the lights on, keeps us going. We really appreciate that stuff. Thank you.